بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته الحمد لله الله سبحانه وتعالى in the Quran he tells us وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون فطرة الله التي فطر الناس عليها Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created human beings with the inherent nature to worship, to admire, to be loyal, to be committed to something or to someone. This is a part of human nature. And if you study human beings and you study human nature, it's an undeniable fact and reality that everyone worships something. Everyone worships something. I know Brother Hamza is going to be talking to us. He was at the Qalam Seminary with us a couple of months ago. And he talked about this idea that you always worship something. If not Allah, then you worship yourself. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presents this idea within the Quran. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَاهُ This is not talking about the idea of shirk as we understand it. This verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, haven't you thought and sat down, have you taken a look at the person who has taken his or her own desires as their deity, their God, their object of worship? So it's an undeniable fact in reality, everyone worships something. Everyone is committed to something. Everyone is loyal to someone or something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us within the Qur'an that He created us with an inherent nature to worship Him, to be dedicated to Him, to be loyal and committed to Him. So the very first thing that I wanted to talk about and I wanted to address here is that we need to do away with this false notion that it's either worshiping Allah or nothing. This idea, and that's what Brother Hamza was talking about, this idea of independence. I am independent. I don't worship God. I don't need a God to tell me what to do. I don't need some religion to tell me what's right and what's wrong. I am me. I will do me. I will do whatever I feel like, however I think it's best, and whatever makes sense to me. This is a completely false notion because there is always something, there is always someone in your life that is dictating to you what you should be doing. And so what Islam presents is the higher notion and the idea that that authority within our lives is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now to talk a little bit about worshiping Allah and why worship Allah. Why should we worship Allah? Let's talk about that idea for a minute. The first thing that we have to understand and that we have to grasp about why we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anyone that you follow, anyone that you obey, anyone that you listen to, it's a demonstration of their credibility. It is the result and the outcome of their credibility. When you follow someone, when you listen to someone, when you do whatever somebody tells you to do, you're doing it based off of the fact that they have credibility in your eyes. And that credibility is what motivates you to obey them, to listen to them, to follow them, to do whatever it is that they're asking you to do. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's credibility? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us within the Qur'an what is Allah's credibility. But before I do that, I wanted to just explain to you what a very common word. Maybe one of the first Arabic words that you probably learned in your life, what that word actually means. And that is Alhamdulillahi. Alhamd in the Arabic language doesn't just simply mean praise, but it is praise that is deserved and that is worthy. A praise that someone or something is inherently entitled to. Number two is that this word hamd, majority of the times when it comes in the Quran, it's presented in its nominal form. Alhamdulillahi. It actually gives ownership of this right, this entitlement of hamd to be praised to Allah. And what's really fascinating about that is that when you have a verbal construction, there is a doer. Ahmadu, I praise. Nahmadu, we praise. Yahmadu, he praises. But when it's presented as Alhamdu, it's just simply saying that the ultimate right to be praised, to be worshipped, to be shown devotion and dedication, respect and honor and dignity. Regardless of whether or not somebody is actually praising him, that right independently in and of itself belongs to Allah. Which implies that even if nobody worships Allah, and there is a hadith to this effect where the Prophet ﷺ said that if every single human being from the beginning of time till the end of time, if they all became كَأَتْقَى رَجُلٍ مِّنْكُمْ, if they became like the most pious and righteous person to ever live, like every single human being became the most pious possible, this would not increase the dominion, the kingdom, the power, the magnificence, the majesty of Allah in the least bit. And if every single human being from the beginning till the end became كَأَشْقَى رَجُلٍ مِّنْكُمْ, became the most wretched, sinful, disobedient, rebellious human being possible, where they had no regard and no respect for Allah and His authority, that would not decrease Allah in His majesty and His magnificence and His power and His ability even in the least bit. So Allah independently, when we say Alhamdu, we are saying that He always was, is, and will always continue to be worthy of praise, regardless, independent of whether somebody praises Him or not. So what we have to understand is that who was Allah. Now let's read a little bit about, from the Quran, from the book of Allah, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks to us about Himself, and what He tells us about Himself. Just a few verses, just a few ayat I'm going to present to you. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began Surah Al-Fatiha, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. The ultimate praise was, is, and will always be for Allah alone, who is the Lord and the Master, the Creator, the Sustainer, the Provider, the Protector of all people whenever and wherever they might exist. Alhamdulillahi alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal arda wa ja'ala adh-dhulumati wan nur. The ultimate praise is for Allah alone, who created the heavens and the earth, and He made darkness and light. Alhamdulillahi alladhi lam yattakhidh walada wa lam yakul lahu sharikun fil mulk wa lam yakul lahu waliyyun min adh-dhul. Allah, the ultimate praise was, is, and will always be for Allah alone, who did not take any child, He does not have any offspring, He does not have any partner in His kingdom and in His power, and He has no need for any assistance from anyone in the least bit. Alhamdulillahi alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitaba wa lam yaj'al lahu iwajan. That the ultimate praise was, is, and will always be for Allah alone, who sent down His book upon His selected slave, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And just as God is perfect, everything that comes from God is magnificent and miraculous and beautiful, His book is absolutely perfect with no flaws in it whatsoever. Alhamdulillahi alladhi lahu ma fis samawati wa ma fil ardi wa lahu alhamdu fil akhirah wa huwa al-hakim al-khabir. The ultimate praise was, is, and will always be for Allah alone. Everything in the heavens belongs to Him. Everything in this earth belongs to Him. And at the end of the day, eventually, in eventuality, the ultimate praise will only and solely belong to Him. Alhamdulillahi fatir as-samawati wal-ard جاعل الملائكة رسلا أولي أجنحة مثنى وثلاث ورباع يزيد في الخلق ما يشاء إن الله على كل شيء قدير. The ultimate praise was, is, and will always be for Allah alone. He originated the heavens and the earth. Nothing like this existed before Allah created it. He made angels to carry out tasks, to carry the message back and forth. Some angels have two wings, some angels have three wings, some angels have four wings. The hadith of Bukhari tells us that when the Prophet ﷺ witnessed Jibreel alayhi salam in all of his glory, he had 600 wings. Two of his wings were so huge, when he would expand them, it would cover the entire horizon from the east to the west. لَهُ الْحَمْدُ فِي الْأُولَى وَالْآخِرَةِ وَلَهُ الْحُكْمُ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. In the beginning, the praise only belongs to Allah. In the end of the day, the praise only belongs to Allah. And only His command is realized. He is the only one with any authority. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. And all of us, all of you are returning back to Him. وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَعَشِيًّا وَحِينَ تُظْهِرُونَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, to Him alone belongs the praise in the heavens and in the earth and in the mornings and even when you experience the evening time. فَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدُ رَبِّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَرَبِّ الْأَرْضِ رب العالمين وله الكبرياء في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. For Allah alone is the ultimate praise. He is the Lord and the Master of the heavens. He is the Lord and Master of the earth. He is the Lord and the Master of all people whenever and wherever they might exist. And for Him alone is the manifest greatness within the heavens and the earth. What is this manifest greatness? When we walk around, when we look at the world around us, what do we see? What do we experience? That's a question we have to ask ourselves. You know, one of the most fascinating verses of the Quran to me, just because in how it trains you to think. This is part of the problem. When we read the book of Allah, are we reading it as just a set of verses, a set of rulings, little anecdotes here and there? Or are we learning how to think and how to process information from the Quran? That's what the Quran teaches us to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so magnificently and so eloquently and beautifully within the Quran, He says, وَجَعَلْنَا السَّمَاءَ سَقَفًا مَحْفُوظًا. وَجَعَلْنَا السَّمَاءَ سَقَفًا مَحْفُوظًا. Allah says, we made the sky a ceiling. We made the sky a ceiling. Now let me ask you a question. The next word, مَحْفُوظًا, comes from the root word which means to protect. To safeguard, to protect. What does a ceiling do? A ceiling does what? It provides protection. A ceiling provides protection. It's safety. It's a covering. So it seems like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have said, وَجَعَلْنَا السَّمَاءَ سَقَفًا حَافِظًا. We made the sky a ceiling that protects. But that's not what Allah said. وَجَعَلْنَا السَّمَاءَ سَقَفًا مَحْفُوظًا. We made the sky a ceiling that is protected. Allah is teaching us to think that when you look up at the sky and you see the sky providing you a ceiling and providing you covering and nourishment coming down from the sky, and the sky is there for your safety and your protection, realize, learn to see beyond the sky. And understand that beyond the sky, there is a creator of the sky who protects the sky. So learn to see beyond the surface. That is iman. Al-imanu ma waqra fil qalb. Iman is that which goes into the depths of the heart and takes root in the heart. And it changes the way that you perceive and you see the world around you. Now, this is such an undeniable reality. One other thing I'll share with you about this, about how we see and interpret the world around us. There's a beautiful narration. I mention this quite often. If you've heard me mention it before, I apologize. مَرَّ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِأَعْرَابِيٍ وَهُوَ يَدْعُ فِي صَلَاتِهِ. It's a hadith in Tabarani. The Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم passed by a Bedouin man, a Muslim, a Bedouin man, which means he was a simple man. He was from the countryside. He was a villager. And he was making dua in his prayer. فَوَقَفَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَسَمِعَ إِلَيْهِ. The Prophet ﷺ stopped and started listening to him. كَيْفَ يَدْعُو. How does this man make dua? This simple man, how does he make dua? What I'm about to tell you is going to sound very eloquent and powerful, but in its idea, it's actually very simple. He says, يَا مَنْ لَا تَرَاهُ الْعُيُونَ. Oh, the one who eyes cannot witness in this world. وَلَا تُخَالِتُهُ الظُّنُونَ. Minds cannot comprehend his greatness. وَلَا يَصِفُهُ الْوَاصِفُونَ. People cannot praise him as he deserves to be praised. وَلَا تُغَيِّرُ الْحَوَادِثِ. The events and the things that occur in this world do not change him. وَلَا يَخْشَ الدَّوَائِرِ. He does not fear the passing of time. يَعْلَمُ مَثَاقِيلَ الْجِبَالِ. He knows the exact weight of all the mountains in this world. وَمَكَائِلَ الْبِحَارِ. He knows the exact volume of all the oceans in this world. Anyways, وَعَدَدَ قَطْرِ الْأَمْطَارِ. He knows the exact number of drops of rain that fall from the sky. وَعَدَدَ وَرْقِ الْأَشْجَارِ. He knows the exact number of leaves on all the trees of this entire world. وَعَدَدَ مَا أَظْلَمَ عَلَيْهِ اللَّيْلِ وَمَا أَشْرَقَ عَلَيْهِ النَّهَارِ. He knows all those things that the day illuminates with its light and the night hides in its darkness. وَلَا تُوَارِي مِنْهُ سَمَاءٌ سَمَاءً. One sky cannot shield another sky from Allah. وَلَا أَرْضٌ أَرْضًا. One ground cannot shield another ground from Allah. وَلَا جَبَلٌ مَا فِي وَعْرِهِ. And a mountain in its deepest, darkest caves cannot hide anything from Allah. وَلَا بَحْرٌ مَا فِي قَعْرِهِ. And the ocean in its depths and darkness cannot hide anything from Allah. This is who Allah is. Now, once we understand that, and if that's the undeniable reality, what prevents us? What prevents us from worshiping this Allah? What is getting in between me and worshiping and showing love and devotion and dedication to such an unbelievable, amazing God and Creator? What is it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, لَنْ يَسْتَنْكِفَ الْمَسِيحُ أَنْ يَكُونَ عَبْدًا لِلَّهِ وَلَا الْمَلَائِكَةُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, maybe it's your arrogance that gets in the way. Well then realize that great prophets, men much greater than you, have come before you, and they never found it beneath themselves to put their face on the ground in front of Allah. There are angels that you can't even fathom, you can't even imagine. There's a hadith that the Prophet ﷺ, in an authentic narration, he tells us, every single day, directly above the Kaaba, Baytullah in Mecca, directly above the Kaaba, there is a place on the fourth sky called Baytul Ma'mur. And at that place, there are 70,000 angels that do tawaf every single day. And once an angel has done tawaf, he is never allowed to make tawaf ever again. Every single day, 70,000 unique angels make tawaf at that place. Imagine how many angels Allah has. They do not find it beneath themselves to worship Allah. Well, maybe it's not arrogance. Maybe it's not something as systemic as arrogance or a problem within the heart. But maybe it's a smaller problem of the heart. Maybe it's laziness. It's a lack of prioritization. Maybe it's not important enough for me. Maybe watching television or hanging out with the boys or doing something else. Maybe that's a little bit more important to me. Maybe that's something that I'm struggling with. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارُ وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ. From His miraculous signs are the nights and the day, the sun and the moon. لَا تَسْجُدُوا لِلشَّمْسِ وَلَا لِلْقَمَرُ. Allah says, do not prostrate, do not make sajda before the sun or the moon. وَاسْجُدُوا لِلَّهِ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُنَّ إِن كُنْتُمْ إِيَّاهُ تَعْبُدُونَ. If you are true in your claim that I worship Allah, I recognize God, then worship the one who created all of these things. فَإِنْ اسْتَكْبَرُوا. Because if you think you're too good to make time to worship Allah, فَالَّذِينَ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ. Those angels that are with Allah in God's presence all the time, يُسَبِّحُونَ لَهُ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. They sing His praises. They glorify Him night and day. وَهُمْ لَا يَسْأَمُونَ. And they never get tired of doing so. They have been worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for we can't even imagine how long. And they never tire of it because they understand who they are worshiping. They understand exactly what they are doing and what a gift and how magnificent it is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. We have to understand something, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so great and so amazing, one of the things that one of the other speakers is going to talk about are some of the names and the attributes of Allah. Allah is Samad. Allah is independent. So what if we don't worship? We already talked about the hadith where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hadith Qudsi says, مَا زَادَ فِي مُلْكِي شَيْئًا وَمَا نَقَصَ مِنْ مُلْكِي شَيْئًا. That if we don't worship Allah, it won't decrease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the least bit. And if we worship Allah, it won't increase Him in the least bit. Then what is the goal and the objective of worship? It is to honor us. It is to dignify us. أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ. The closest that the slave is to his creator is when he or she is in sajda. When you put your face on the ground, when you humble yourself, when you lower yourself to the greatest extent possible, to put the most dignified part of your body, your face, on the ground, you are never closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than you are in that particular position. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about His nearness. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. The beautiful ayah. When my slaves ask you about me, then Allah says, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. I am close. You know something very beautiful about the tone of the ayah? If two people are talking, right? If Brother Hamza and Brother Noman are talking and they're like, hey, have you seen Abdul Nasir? And I'm standing behind them and I hear them saying, have you seen Abdul Nasir? Have you seen Abdul Nasir? What do I say? I'm right here. Allah is telling the Prophet ﷺ that when people come to you and they say, tell us about God, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I'm right here. فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. But what's lacking is on our part. The next part of the ayah for me is just life-changing. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. I won't get into too much linguistics here, but very basically, there's an excessive amount of repetition right there. The word dua, the word to call out to Allah, the word to pray to Allah, to talk to Allah, is repeated three times. And it's not necessary grammatically. Ujibu idha da'ani. I answer, I always answer, I will always answer whenever someone calls out to me. Allah could have said that, but that's not what He said. He said, ujibu da'wa, ad-da'i, idha da'ani. I will always answer the dua of the one who makes dua, whenever he or she makes dua. I will always answer the call of the one who calls, whenever he or she calls. Allah is telling us that what's lacking is on your part. You're not talking to me. You're not bowing in front of me. You are depriving yourself. And so what we have to understand is our honor and our dignity is in coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a very beautiful Imam Ghazali, he says in the Ihya, "Man arafa fawaid al-ibadati taba lahu al-ishtighal biha wa thaqula alayhi al-ishtighal bighayriha." If somebody was to understand the benefits of worshipping Allah, that person would want to remain in the worship of Allah all the time. And engaging in anything else other than the worship of Allah would just become very difficult to do. You'd be cumbered you'd be weighed down by the fact that you were doing something else worshiping other than Allah. That's why the Prophet ﷺ in the hadith about the seven under the shade, he talks about that person, وَرَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسْجِدِ. That's why the Prophet ﷺ talks about انتظار الصلاة إلى الصلاة. Waiting from one prayer to the next, waiting from one opportunity to the next. Because when you understand what's in worship, you'd want to be engaged in that ibadah and that worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. Now let's talk a little bit about the solution to the problem. I am struggling with worship. You know the question, why I should pray? Why should we worship? It's indicative of something. Maybe somebody doesn't have that level of arrogance. Maybe somebody is trying to make time. But a lot of times that question arises when the experience is not fully there. You're going through the motions, but the experience isn't there. That's at the core of this issue. The solution to that is not to find something else to do, but the solution to that problem is to make it an experience. Inject quality into the practice that you're doing. That is so fundamentally important. When you make sajda and you realize that you are the closest that you could possibly be to Allah, when you imagine and you think and you engage in the exercise of pondering and thinking, Allah is al-ali, al-muta'ali. Allah is exalted in the highest and the most magnificent and the greatest. And when you are in sajda, you are humbling yourself to be the lowest possible. And in that position, what do you say? What do you say in your sajda, everybody? Okay. Hopefully everybody went to Sunday school, right? What do you say in your sajda, everybody? Very good. See, that wasn't too difficult. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. How absolutely perfect. Think of your flaws. I am so flawed. I have so many issues and problems and mistakes and shortcomings. How absolutely perfect is my Lord, my Master, and I am His slave. Al-A'la. And He is the highest and I am the lowest. When you understand what you're saying, when you reflect on what you're saying, when you enhance that experience, then there won't be a question. Then it won't be a question, why should I worship? The question will be, why should I not worship? Why shouldn't I pray? Not do I have to pray, but can I pray? The question will totally change. But you have to take the initiative to improve your own experience. This is exactly... Ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he used to say, إِنَّ هَذِهِ الْقُلُوبُ تَصْدَأُ كَمَا يَصْدَأُ الْحَدِيدِ. Hearts become rusted like iron becomes rusted. قِيلَ وَمَا جِلَاؤُهَا. So he was asked, well, how do you remove the rust from the hearts? قَالَ بِتِلَاوَةِ الْقُرْآنِ. By reading the book of Allah. Don't just recite the Quran, but read it.
We don't have to say understand reading in the definition of the Sahaba. Their understanding of reading was you understand what you're reading. Read a translation. Learn and understand what the Quran is talking about. Understand what you are saying in your prayer. That very ritual exercise that you go through that has become so meaningless and so cumbersome for you. Understand what you're saying and see how it frees you. And how it enhances your experience. I always tell people, don't ask yourself when's the last time you prayed or offered your prayer or performed salah. But ask yourself when's the last time you experienced prayer. And if you don't have an answer or you can't remember when was the last time, you have to fix that. You have to remedy that. I'll finally end with a story. Very interesting story. And it talks about how when you invest into your relationship with Allah and you enhance and begin to experience a relationship with Allah, then what it does to the way you think, how it changes the way you think. So this incident is mentioned by Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. Imam Qurtubi mentions it in his tafsir that some of the Sahaba saw a Bedouin man, atabab al-masjid. He came into the masjid. فَنَزَلَ عَنْ نَاقَتِهِ He came up to the door of the masjid. He got off of his camel. For us, it would be he got out of his car. وَدَخَلَ الْمَسْجِدِ And he walked into the masjid without tying his camel, without locking his car. He came into the masjid. وَصَلَّى And he started praying. وَصَلَّى بِالسَّكِينَةِ وَالْوَقَارِ He didn't have a worry in the world. He became completely disconnected from everything because he was experiencing a conversation with Allah. وَدَعَى بِمَا شَاءَ And after he got done praying, then he sat there and kept making dua for so long. And they said, فَتَعَجَّبْنَا We were very impressed and kind of just surprised by how much this man was enjoying his worship. The Sahaba were impressed with him. فَلَمَّا خَرَجَ لَمْ يَجِدْ نَاقَتَهُ He goes out of the masjid and his car is gone. Somebody jacked his car. فَقَالَ And he stands out there, he doesn't see his car, so he looks up at the sky and he says, يَا رَبِّ أَدَّيْتُ أَمَانَتَكَ فَأَيْنَ أَمَانَتِي He says, My Lord, I did what you asked me to do, now where's my car? Where's my ride? I did my part, you got to do your part. And the Sahaba say, فَزِدْنَا تَعَجُّبًا We were even more shocked now, that look at this, how this guy talks. Look how he talks to Allah. فَلَمْ يَلْبَثْ أَنْ جَاءَ رَجُلٌ عَلَى نَاقَتِهِ وَسَلِمَ النَّاقَةَ إِلَيْهِ After a little while, he was still standing out there, and a man rides up on that guy's camel. He comes driving his car, and he pulls up, and he gets out, and he hands him the keys, and he goes, This is your car. فَقَالَ أَحَدُ أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ Then one of the Sahaba who was watching this whole scene, he comments, he says, إِنَّهُ لَمَّا حَفِظَ أَمَانَةَ اللَّهِ حَفِظَ اللَّهُ أَمَانَتَهُ When he took care of his responsibility to Allah, Allah took care of him. And this is exactly what the Prophet ﷺ told Abdullah bin Abbas, Ya ghulam, ihfadillaha yahfadhk. You look after your relationship with Allah, and then you see how Allah looks after you. The Prophet of Allah ﷺ, he was giving khutbah in Hajjatul Wida. This is his parting advice to us. He said, ittaqullah. Always think about your relationship with Allah. Anytime you do something, think about how it will impact your relationship with Allah. وَصَلُّوا خَمْسَكُمْ Pray 5 times a day. وَصُومُوا شَهْرَكُمْ Fast in the month of Ramadan. وَأَدُّوا زَكَاةَ أَمْوَالِكُمْ Make sure you give your zakat, your charity annually. وَأَطِيعُوا أُمَرَاءَكُمْ And make sure you obey those who deserve to be obeyed in your life. تَدْخُلُوا جَنَّةَ رَبِّكُمْ You will enter paradise that was prepared for you by your Lord and your Master, who loves you more than even your mother loves you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all sincerity and consistency and steadfastness and quality in our worship. Say ameen, everybody. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum.